Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net, and you can click on our contact page and you can find the various means that you can reach us. You can reach us by our email, you can go to our Twitter account or our Facebook page. If you would like to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes, or tell your friends. You can share us on your Facebook, share us on Twitter. Okay, so thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 2, Episode 9. It's called The Choice.
So, we've only got one episode left, don't we?
Yes.
Fuck. That sucks.
Yeah.
It's been another gone year. By fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. I savored every minute of this episode. It was tense.
Yes.
It was really tense. There was times where I was honestly afraid that certain characters were going to, you know, cash it in.
Yes.
I totally agree. I was like, oh, that's probably the perfect way to put it. I mean, a lot happened. You know, Ragnar left continents quick. You know, well, not
he
continent.
Did.
Left. He left the island.
Island,
just like,
yeah.
Ding,
yeah.
I'm back. So, I mean, that's all right. That's the quick time warp. No time wasted seeing them travel every time, which is nice.
They kind of ease us into that to where they. I notice other shows have done that too. You have like at the beginning of it, you know, they make it a point to show you how Group A gets to, you mm-hmm. know, I guess I should say Group A gets from point A to point B, and then after a while, they stop showing the means of transportation. It's just like, oh, they're there.
Well, yeah. It would be tedious though to watch them. Even though it would have been interesting to see Rollo wounded
and
on
how
the trip.
How they handled the waves. Or imagine if there was a storm and your legs busted like that. We'll cover it when we get there, but somebody could have said it before. But
you know, he was bellowing like a beast on that whole mm-hmm. trip.
If he wasn't passed out for most of it.
Oh, yeah. And maybe he was just asking people to punch him, knock him out.
Yeah.
Floki did it gladly, I'm sure. Okay. So, the episode opens with Athelstan translating Latin text for Ecgberht. He's reading an account of one of Julius Caesar's battles, and I was wondering if any of our listeners who know much about Roman history, if they know specifically what battle this is they're referring to, and you can write in to us and let us know, and we'll announce it.
Seems like it would be really difficult to suss mm-hmm. that out, though, because it wasn't a whole lot of information.
No, it was just a piece of his strategy and what he was doing.
I'm wondering if it was in Britannia, because he did go to Britannia, but which is England.
Well, if you
obviously.
Watch the show Spartacus, we probably saw it, don't you?
Yeah.
I was thinking that. I was thinking that while I was watching him do that, and I was like going,
which battle in Spartacus was on a sloping hill?
Yeah. As they were chasing the rebels, you know.
Was the sloping hill the one that Crassus and Spartacus met upon, maybe?
It was a cool scene. Because it shows Ecgberht smart enough to realize that he's got, you know, he's learning from everything that Athelstan's translating for him.
And he's smart enough to know that he needs to look to the greats to teach himself on how to approach battle strategy. Mm-hmm. And that the important part is that he does latch on to the idea of using terrain as an aid in battle strategy. And we actually see this exactly as it's stated play out later. And I'll cover that when we get to that particular scene. So Athelstan does not believe that Ragnar does not want to negotiate. And this is where Ecgberht says, well, we were betrayed. Athelstan asks that he be sent as an envoy to go talk to them. But Ecgberht doesn't want to make that risk right now, sending him over there. And Ecgberht also points out that he thinks Athelstan desires that Ecgberht and Ragnar make peace so that Athelstan could be at peace himself.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty insightful point, I think.
It wasn't as nasty as the other episode where we saw them talking. This actually seemed like two friends talking.
Yeah, like he cared about him. Mm-hmm. Like he was just like, I don't want to send you to those guys because they could kill you. You know, mm-hmm. and he also thinks, I don't want to send you to those guys because I don't want you to defect back to their camp.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I can't lose you.
I think the way Ecgberht and Ragnar, how they love Athelstan and that friendship, there's shades of difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ragnar's relationship is a bit more pure. Like it started out, this is somebody he could use to learn the language and everything like that and learn about the civilization. But they've actually developed a really good friendship. But I think Athelstan is more of a possession for Ecbert, which there's a scene later that I'll like.
I would agree
expand
with that.
On that yeah. a little bit more.
I think it's kind of starting out the same. It was starting out the same way with King Ecbert, though. You know, I mean, he saw Athelstan as a way to learn about the pagans and how they did stuff. And
right.
as time went on, they found, you know, a connection with, you know, him translating and doing stuff. And even in this episode, it shows that they were starting. I think with a little more time, that friendship would have even blossomed into what he has with Ragnar also.
So it could still be in the beginning stages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, you've got to figure it was, I mean, I don't know the exact time, but Ragnar had a few extra years with him.
Right. That's true.
Definitely. Definitely.
Did you want to comment on that anymore?
No, I think you guys covered it. Yeah, that's...
Okay. Ragnar and Horik are butting heads over how to approach King Ecbert. Horik only wants revenge. He does not believe there should be good faith between themselves and Christians. Floki supports this idea. King Horik throws down the gauntlet and says they will seek battle on the morrow.
What does Floki say? He says they're lice and fleece.
Mm-hmm. Vermin, like or yeah, vermin flea and vermin or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something to that.
Is it me or are we all just ready for King Horik just to get smashed in the face?
Man, I've been ready.
Yeah.
He's looking rougher and rougher too, so it's like, just fuck off. Just somebody beat his ass.
Yeah, I'm ready to see a resolution to that storyline, but I don't think I don't know. Maybe we'll get it next episode. Maybe they'll drag it out till next season. Who knows? Because that's going to be a pretty big thing, because the last time that Ragnar went up against somebody, it was an earl, and mm-hmm. he became the earl. Now it's a king, so I guess it's implied at some point that Ragnar's going to be king. So it's like...
It has been?
It implied, not explicit.
It would make sense.
Right.
You know, implied, so...
But he could be.
Yeah, because I think in this episode, we saw the final straw between the two. Mm-hmm. You know, that battle that could have been completely different.
Bjorn sits with his father, and he tells him that he cannot sleep. He's thinking a lot about death. And Ragnar tells him what the seer had said about Bjorn, and that because he said these things about Bjorn, about him marrying a princess, mm-hmm. king's daughter, and then sailing around a ocean that has no tides, or a sea. That
a
has
tideless
no,
sea or tideless sea. Ocean.
Mm-hmm. And that this he tells this to Bjorn to let him know that he does not believe Bjorn will die tomorrow. And Horik and Floki are watching them from afar, and they just start to discuss Bjorn, and they're discussing him through the story of Baldur, who is the favored son of Odin, who is, I guess, indestructible because Odin decided that nobody should be able to kill mm-hmm. Baldur. And this bothered Loki, the god Loki. And so they use the story to present Horik's idea that he thinks Bjorn maybe should be killed as a way to get at Ragnar.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to tell if Floki really...
He convinced me this episode that he's
yes.
dirty dealings.
Yeah, it kind of put the... I was really having high hopes for Floki in this episode that mm-hmm. he would kind of turn around and kind of fall in line with our theories that we had on the last cast about how he's being a double agent, kind mm-hmm. of, you know, yeah. just trying to get into Horik's camp. But I don't think so, because he had ample opportunity to do so. I mean, he mm-hmm. could have done anything from axe this guy in the back to... Anything. You know? And then there's another scene that we'll get to later on where, you know, it's Floki and Ragnar kind of face off verbally, and it gives the lie to that too. So it's just like, it's disappointing in that sense, because I was just hoping that, you know, I had no real reason to hope it. I mean, we kind of just pulled that one out of our hats, but a couple of our viewers were along the same lines
too. And there was a lot of people on Reddit talking about it too. And then some people are even wondering if Siggy's working for Ragnar. And I have to wonder of that myself, because he has been watching her from afar a lot. And it could be that because he's onto her, or because he set her to task.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? But the only issue I had with Floki is he's lying to his wife. Like, it was very heartfelt when, you know, she told him that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he said he didn't want Ragnar at the wedding, like, I think, you know, if he is playing Horik, he's playing her too.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be really upsetting, I think, for Helga to find that out, yeah. you know, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Well, so maybe that scene when they were sitting there, you know, and he was talking about how he's crazy and stuff like that, and he was talking to Helga and having a heart to heart, maybe that was there to let us know, if we were wise enough to grasp it, mm-hmm. that Floki is what he seems to be, and it's yeah. all at face value.
I think he would be honest with her. But who knows? Somebody did propose the idea that maybe he's lying to her because this was on Reddit, a thread on Reddit, that maybe she's not a good liar. And so it's a way to use her because she did kind of propel Siggy to go and tell Horik about the rift between Ragnar and.
Well, I had said something to that effect kind of last week, just saying that it would keep her safe. You know, if she doesn't know, then possibly she can't be added to it.
Oh, you,
True.
I don't, oh, sorry, I didn't catch
No,
that.
it's all right. But I mean, after this week's episode, I don't know. It seemed fairly real.
Yeah, we'll get to this particular scene later that really convinced me. But so Athelstan prays to Jehovah, and he asks, why should he deny himself these Norse gods that he has seen with his own eyes? Athelstan has an honest relationship with everyone, even his own god, which I thought was cool.
And he asks for him to, you know, protect Ragnar. It was a really
And
heartfelt
Eckhart.
prayer. Yeah, it was awesome. It showed, you know, it's just like you said, it showed that he's willing to put himself out there to get results, kind of, you know,
It's
just in a
it.
prayer.
I liked it because it was, you know, it this wasn't too far from the scene where Ecbert tells him that I think you'd like us to be friends. You know, I think that would be something that you'd like to see, and I think he wants the gods to be on the same page as well. And Ragnar says that to him later and says, I think, you know, it would be nice if our gods could be friends. So there's a good echo back and forth between that sentiment. So, you know, if we can look at Ragnar as a earthly representation of Odin, and then Ecbert as, I mean, he's not anything like a Christ-like figure, but to he's representative of Christian culture in England at the very least.
So
But
the
those two worlds just don't seem like they're gonna meld very easily. I mean,
No.
eventually they do, but
Yeah, I read somewhere where a lot of the English started to dress like Vikings, became like a fashion at that time, which was like when the Aiel went into Camelin, was it? Was it Camelin or was it the
It's
other
been a
place
while.
where, oh
I know this is where you come in because we don't
man.
ever remember. I can't even remember the name of the city.
Kyrian?
Kyrian.
Kyrian.
Oh,
Okay.
nice.
Kyrian. I
Take
think
that
it
back.
was Kyrian.
Yeah, they never got to Camelin anyway, I don't think. The Aiel in force.
Where they settled, I think it was Kyrian, but they all started to dress like the Aiel.
Even the women started carrying weapons and
Yeah.
pants and.
Which the Aiel were, I came across a description that Julius Caesar, what, it was Tacitus, was, I think it was Tacitus or Julius Caesar in his diaries that were describing the Saxons, which before they invaded England when they were in northern Germany, and their description is exactly like the Aiel, which the Saxons originally descended from the Scandinavians. Anyway. So the Vikings march to battle and they stop at the top of a sloping hill. Ragnar says, this is the place. And Horik says, how do you know? And he goes, because they're already here. And even I could hear them, you know.
Idiot,
Old man needs some hearing
I
aids.
guess. I mean, is that, did they do that to kind of show us that he's just not making the best decisions in
He's
the
not
world
paying
right now? He's
attention.
not, he's not paying attention. He's not doing his due diligence as far as a battlefield leader
Yeah,
is concerned.
he's lumbering into battle.
Yeah.
So Horik wants to charge because he thinks they have advantage of the hill. Ragnar wants to wait, but Horik is the king, so there you go. So as described in the Latin text, the Viking force ends up divided, fighting two different fronts. I don't know how what they would have done if they had waited. Like,
If
would they
they
eventually have seen the other force?
had waited, right? You wait for you. It looks like they. Okay, so this is what a bad good battle strategy would have been. If it had been me, and I understood where Ragnar was going with it. If you think you have a bigger force, and the other force, because they were kind of like in a little bowl type valley.
Right.
If you go down, then, and just like Ragnar, I think, might have known that there was another force because he was like, well, we should wait here. If you wait for your enemy to attack you, then you have the higher ground. If you go down in, then you have the low ground and spears, horses, anything, you can get put into a precarious situation faster. The higher ground is always better. So if you wait it out, then you have the advantage right off the bat.
I see, because King Horik thought they had the higher ground even if they went down the slope, but you're actually still losing high ground as you move down the slope.
Well, he thought too that they had a larger number because that's the thing. That's why he was like, he even tells Ragnar, we've got more men. We need to go and fight them. Now, he wasn't even thinking about the advantage of being, you know, on higher ground. He just wanted to go and attack because he thought he had them by numbers. And that's why Ragnar was like, you know, you look at the, at where they ended up fighting, Ragnar took it all in and realized, well, there's too many variables. And he was right because they come down at him at two different sides.
It
And then
ended up
you're in a
being more than
pinch.
two different sides,
Yeah, one
too.
on each side. Lagertha took a
Yeah, that's
group.
true.
They took a group,
And
so they.
Bjorn was Bjorn leading a group too?
Bjorn was with his dad on the one on the right.
Okay.
But, you know, and then if you look at all the other battles with Vikings, that they win, their best strategy is when they have their shield walls up, they fight as a
Right.
cohesive group. In this battle, he had them spread
He's
out
divided them.
and then ran through with, you know, mounted
Cavalry.
soldiers, cavalry, and really did some damage. Thank goodness Rollo's got enough common sense to start killing the horses.
Yeah, I noticed that he was the first or only person to do that.
Yeah, so you guys pretty much describe the rest of the battle. We got King Ella and King Ecbert. They're off, you know, on their horses, watching from afar. When the cavalry arrives, they start smiling to themselves. At this point, we start to see our Vikings fall one by one. Rollo's a beast, and he's
I'm
taken
tough.
down horses and men, but eventually he gets
Trampled.
overrun, and that was really hard for me to watch.
I know.
Both times I watched it, I had like a physical reaction where I brought my hands
Oh
up, just
yeah. I wrote down in my notes, "Oh shit, Rollo." I was like, "Oh no!" I just started liking when they're gonna kill him, which wouldn't have been. It sucks, but you guys know I'm a little twisted. It would have been like awesome. You know, they've got enough balls to kill a main character like this.
You've been sobbing, but you've been saying awesome at the
Yes,
same
you know, it
time.
makes it more real when they take someone out like that.
It
I
was
love it.
tough to watch because it was pretty, I mean, this show isn't real graphic a lot of the times, you know, at least not with the sex. It can be a little more graphic with the violence, but it's not very graphic with the sex. So you don't expect a whole lot of blood and boobs, so to speak. But this scene, I mean, the horse just trampling over him and his body shaking, you know,
Jerking, yeah.
that last horse just rolloed right over him. Sorry.
Well, for being a show on cable, we got, and being on the History Channel, they did a really good job with keeping it not quite as violent and bloody. Just on the way they had the camera angles, it almost looked like someone was running around with the camera to keep it kind of shaky. You know, in a lot of other TV series, they would slow it down to like, you know, a half,
Yeah.
fraction of a second, spears going through faces and blood.
Right.
I thought they did a really good job. I'm sure some people are knocking the battle scenes, but I've enjoyed them.
I thought it was an awesome battle scene. It was one I think probably the best battle scene I've seen in this show so far.
It's definitely the most epic as far as its scope, you know, how many people were fighting in it and how many different battle lines there were,
And
and
then how
there's
you felt as a viewer, so
and
much
that
at stake.
strategy. It was perfect strategy on a Ekbert's, you know, part.
It was great acting too, because I mean, you can see it on Ragnar's face when they're losing, and he realizes it, and he's like, "This is over. We got to get
Yeah,
out of
we
here.
got
We
to
got to
go
run."
now. I'm surprised they let him run.
Well, he sees that his brother's down, and this is when he gets a horse, and it allows him to get a little bit higher, and he's able to really look at the battlefield at this point. And that's when he says, "Okay, run." And the Vikings start to begin their retreat. Ragnar somehow loses his horse, I don't remember. And then he's in the midst of a fight where he's one against many. And Bjorn sees him and begins to fight his way toward his dad. And Bjorn's a badass.
Did you guys notice that the camera was sped up just a little bit during these scenes, if I'm not mistaken?
Make the
It
fight
seemed like
scenes look a
everything
little
was,
faster.
it was a little more faster and frantic.
See, that would, I mean, I didn't, I
That
think
makes
it was the
sense.
camera. I didn't realize it was technical.
I'm not sure. I mean, I don't know, but it seemed like that
It would be
though.
a smart move. Just a fraction of a
Yeah,
hair
yeah.
would make the fight seem even faster and more vicious. Because he did. He ran through guys
Oh
quick.
yeah. It was awesome to watch. And then Ragnar and Bjorn leave the battlefield, leaving behind Rollo. So Saxons are now killing the wounded Vikings that were left behind. Athelstan spies Rollo and tells the Saxon to stop before he spears him. Ecbert wants to know how Athelstan knows him. Ella interrupts and says he knows him as Rollo, Ragnar's brother. Ecbert wants to save Rollo because he is of importance, obviously.
Yeah, bargaining chip. Yeah.
So the defeated Vikings make their way back to camp. Horik says his outcome was fated. Bjorn is upset.
Yeah, covered in blood.
Kicking stuff and
kicking rocks.
yeah. Ragnar says that they do not know for sure that Rollo is dead. Ragnar gives Bjorn his nickname Ironsides.
Very cool.
And then Lagertha says it is time they make a decision. Bjorn wants to rescue Rollo if he is still alive. Ragnar asks Quark, what are they fated to do?
Yeah, he's pretty contemptuous when he does that
Oh yeah,
too. He's like, so tell me, King, what are we gonna do? What do the gods have in store for us since you know so much?
yeah, that last straw got plucked for sure. That's it.
So Saxons are celebrating. Ella and Æthelwulf talk about where Ecgbert learned such, or they speculate, how did Ecgbert do such brilliance on the battlefield? And Æthelwulf says, well, he probably read it somewhere. But they're almost kind of disdainful of it in a way.
Well, yeah, definitely disdainful because he's King Ella's just like, well, the reading is just kind of like this somewhat for monks, but then not any much use beyond that.
Yeah, and you think Æthelwulf would have a little bit more respect for his father. But
Well, you know how it is, though.
I know he's been sent as a hostage out.
A cup, you know,
And he's drunk. Yeah,
he's had something to drink. I mean,
I know. Yeah.
plus, it's hard to live in a shadow of somebody who seems to be like a top-notch king. You know, he has strategy down. He's got everything going for him. He's got his sauna of dudes that he talks to all the time. So it's hard not to be a little jealous.
So Athelstan visits Rollo in his sick bed. Rollo is angry
Oh,
with
yeah.
Athelstan, and even wounded, he's frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, he is just so large. When he put his hand on Athelstan's throat, it's just like he's such a beast.
If I'm not mistaken, these few lines that he has are the only ones that he has in this whole episode. Because he hasn't said anything up until this point.
Think you're right.
And then he doesn't say anything after this
Now he
point.
just screams
Yeah.
and grunts and moans.
Which was funny. I mean, the whole, if I was strong enough. And then he still struggled a little bit getting his hand off. I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't be letting him touch me right now.
That's got to be like I mean, he had to do a lot of, you know, Clive Stanton had to do a lot of physical acting in this episode, but that had to be like a relief just to get your script and be like, it's two sentences. That's
Sweet.
awesome. Yeah. Everybody else has all this exposition they got to do, you know, and all these parlays back and forth, and he's just like, oh, I'm on coffee break. I got three things to say. That's it.
The Vikings perform their funeral rites, and now we have some more celebration with the Saxons, but it's a celebratory bath. Ella wants to know if they should attack again. Ecgbert says that it is not a good idea. He does not want to add revenge to the Viking greed. He would rather their services as mercenaries in order to overcome
This is why
Mercia.
they let him go, I think, because you were saying, I wonder why they let him go. I think this is why they let him go, so they could regroup and kind of think about things and say, okay, we're outnumbered, we're overpowered. We can either sail back or we can
Yeah,
see
he
what's going
handles that
on.
other king with perfect. I mean, he just pretty much explained it to him. And he didn't even question him. He was like, oh, okay.
Well, he's been handling that dude since square one, you know, because I don't think anybody in the who watches the show thinks that that guy's going to come out, you know, good at the end of this.
No.
Ecbert's too shrewd for that. Everybody's a pawn in his game, so.
Although he does do something that is more disgusting than licking the seer's hand. And he gets a
Oh,
mouthful of that
yeah.
disgusting
I
water
know.
and spits it out. I was like, ugh.
Oh my
Ew.
God. You got other naked guys.
Middle Ages
Oh,
guys.
yeah, Middle Ages guys. Middle Ages guys.
Yes.
Yeah, stink in the bath.
They didn't get in there because they were clean.
The country club steam room. I'm telling you, it's what I always think of. Just a bunch of old dudes sitting around in their towels yakking.
The view.
So they discuss who would they send to treat with the Vikings. It was decided that it would be Athelstan, which was suggested by Æthelwulf, who is, I mean, I had said it before, but it's pretty obvious that he is Floki's parallel at this point.
He's just as jealous of his dad's involvement with Athelstan as Loki was with Ragnar's.
So Athelstan is on his way to meet with them, and he's riding a donkey.
Poor guy. They don't even give him a proper horse.
I think
You get an ass.
I learned some stuff about donkeys lately. I think they're actually pretty cool animals, but I would think I'd rather a donkey.
I think I'd rather have a horse than a donkey, especially when everybody else is riding
I'm
horses.
gonna go with a horse. It's just a little bit more dignified. If
than a big ass, than
you're
an
rolling
ass.
up, yeah, you're rolling up to the northern invaders, and you just you're on an ass. Now, this imagery though that presents a monk or maybe ex-monk, however you want to
The
look at
humbled look.
Athelstan, he's on a donkey. That's religious iconography. I've seen that before. Whether it was in a cartoon, whether it was in like a drawing in a book
Or like
painting or
a
something.
coffee label or
No,
something.
no, I know what you're talking about.
It's
It's just to make him seem even more humble because he's wearing the robes and he's going back to the people to where they were already questioning his loyalty to their gods, and then they send him back. Other than the monk haircut, he was full garb. So maybe it was just to make him seem more, like a monk. Or a priest, however you want to.
Regardless, he handles it well.
Yeah, he does. He knows what to expect because we see this because he arrives by himself. And yeah, with that in mind, I would want a horse because if, like you said, meeting the Northmen, you'd want to. Look if you had to turn tail, you don't want to be a donkey.
And somebody's just running next to him. You're not getting too far.
A brisk walk.
But donkeys are cool. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
So he first greets Bjorn. And I think Bjorn says what he says because he's not quite sure what to make of the current Athelstan.
Well, and he doesn't want to look like a total kid anymore because he's like 8 feet tall now. So he didn't want to go, I missed you. I love you.
He kind of puts it out there as to say like, okay, the ball's in your court because he says, I remember who you are. When I was a kid, I wanted to kill you. Then I loved you. And then he kind of squats down with his knife and he kind of says, what should I feel now?
Right.
You tell me.
Yeah.
Athelstan announces that Rollo is alive. He then greets King Horik, and he just says, hello, King Horik. But he says it with, there is something that has passed between them, for sure. Mm-hmm. Unless it's just the rape, not just, it's not significant, but the raping and pillaging that he was there for when he hid in a tent. But there has to be something else.
Well, Athelstan, too, is such a, he was already with the churches and stuff. And he's super smart. I think he saw King Horik for who he was a lot earlier than Ragnar did.
Well, I think you guys are both right. Mm-hmm. But whenever Rollo was grabbing him by the neck, he told him, he said, King Ekbert said you betrayed us.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah, yeah.
You say King Horik said
King Horik. I'm sorry, Horik said you betrayed
us. Yes, he did say that.
So that, I think, is why more than anything
else. Yeah, that totally makes sense. I forgot.
So. It is all the things you guys brought up because he's observed this guy and his leadership skills versus Ragnar. You know, when Ragnar was absent, when he went back to go deal with douchebag hashtag.
Oh, Jarl Borg.
Jarl Borg, yeah.
Douchebeard.
But, yeah. So, anyway, I think, I think it's a little bit of all of it.
Mm-hmm. So, Lagertha asks Athelstan, why did he come? And Athelstan says he offers a message for peace. Ekbert wants to negotiate. And then Floki taunts Athelstan about his clothes, his hair, which I didn't really see what the deal was with his hair. It was really not much different than it was when he
just tied back.
Yeah.
You really don't see too many Vikings with it just tied back. Usually it's like braided and stuff, isn't it?
Either braided or it's just worn down.
Put your perfume on. Yeah. Soap.
Your donkey.
Look at you all churched up. Aren't you special?
Lagertha and Athelstan talk of exchanging hostages, and Lagertha says she and Ragnar will meet with Ekbert.
Does she say Ragnar?
She says...
I'll go.
I'll go. And then Ragnar says, No, I think she does say me and Ragnar.
Because I rewound it, and I played it twice, because I couldn't understand. She said, I and somebody will go. I'll go and somebody else will go, but I couldn't make out.
I think it is Ragnar.
Okay.
Because doesn't he ask, well, who are you? Doesn't King Horik say that?
Who are you to decide? Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and she's just kind of like, well, you don't have to go.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, you can come if you want. Yeah. You don't have to. And this is where Athelstan's okay. He's departing, and Ragnar says, I'll go with you at least part of the way.
Smart. And I'm going to human shield you.
Yeah.
Because there might be some shenanigans.
This is my favorite scene of the episode, actually. I love their relationship. So Athelstan tells Ragnar of his conflict with the religions, and we've already alluded to this because Ragnar says that he hopes someday their gods will become friends, and he gives Athelstan back his man bracelet.
Now, the way I looked at this scene is obviously what was going on between the two of them is the main thrust of it, but when they show the archer off to the side, Ragnar sees him
and or pulls him knows close.
Somewhere, and he... Mm-hmm. I think he pulls him close like that, not to use him as a shield, but to give a signal to that guy, I'm not going to hurt him. He's my friend. I've got my arm around him in a compassionate sense. There's no threat here.
I took it as he was protecting Athelstan and without alerting Athelstan to the danger.
Exactly, because when he gets almost when he gets to where he needs to be farther down, he's like, okay, you're safe. You know, yeah. I'm leaving now.
So you think that Archer, who are we to assume that Archer was from? What camp?
Horik. For sure.
Okay.
Because look at the last group that came to talk to him. They wiped him out.
Yeah.
And then you see, not an Archer out in the open like before, this guy's hiding in the bushes with a bow.
Two Archers, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, they were hiding mm-hmm. a little further back. Because before, when people came up, they were out in the open with bows.
Okay, I guess that makes more sense. Mm-hmm.
And then when he realized it, he was like, meh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right, that makes a lot more sense. Okay, yeah, because for what I was thinking is that they were King Ecbert's men, and that they were, like, if anybody tried to do anything to their envoy, they were just going to start firing arrows at him because they knew the whole thing was a lost cause.
Well, the Vikings are going to know if they're that close to their camp.
Then. True, yeah. But what you're saying makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I think it's Horik's men.
So it was still pretty sly of him, then.
Oh, yeah, he was smart.
Yeah.
Which they didn't really talk too much about Horik going behind Ragnar's back and killing that envoy from the last episode. But
well, they bring it up a little bit at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah,
but not much. It's just he was just flexing. I'm a king. I never had any intentions, you know, of talking. I'm here to kill.
So,
eye for an eye type thing, you know.
So next scene, the hostage exchange happens. But before that happens, King Ella learns just before he's deemed hostage that he's going to be a hostage. And he actually handled it better than I thought he would, but he's definitely angry about it because he gets a couple sideways glances at King Ecbert that are just like complete disgust.
This was a sly move on Ecbert's part because he says, well, I'm not going to put my son in harm's way again. He already did it once with good faith. I'm not going to do it again, but you.
And he's
you
pissed at me still.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to send his daughter. Like, not my son, your daughter. Oh. But he went a whole different route with it. So I thought it was great. And then he tells him, shouldn't you be going to get ready? You smell, you know.
Yeah. And that's when he gave another stink eye look at Ecbert.
Fine.
You stink of horse.
Now the Vikings approach Ecbert. Floki does not like it. He does not understand why they go to rescue Rollo because of his past transgressions.
What a dick.
Yeah, he doesn't forgive anything.
Mm-mm.
Lagertha says it's not just for Rollo. Floki says, yeah, because it's about the priest. How can you trust the priest? And that's when Ragnar asks Floki, how can he talk about trust?
Finally. We finally get something out of Ragnar on all of this.
And then when he questions him, he goes, me, not untrustworthy. Mm-hmm. And then Ragnar just looks at Horik and then looks back at him like, I don't even have to say anything.
Yeah.
You know, this is just... Now, to be honest, though, Floki has some real grievance here. Rollo did kill the guy he was talking about.
Arne.
Arne. Mm-hmm. He almost killed Floki.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It just so happens that he didn't die from the wounds. That's about it, you know, but the intent was there.
He became a Christian.
You know, he did become a Christian, and Ragnar has done a lot of stuff that's put the group at risk on Athelstan's behalf. Not a lot of stuff, but some things, this being one of them, because they could just get totally ambushed at that point.
And he hasn't really betrayed Ragnar yet.
No, he hasn't.
No, yeah, there's no betrayal there.
He's just flirting with the fact that I could do it.
He's open to the idea.
And Ragnar's just, I think Ragnar's just really hurt that Floki hasn't come to him, that he wasn't invited to the wedding. I think Ragnar's wrestling with that's why we haven't got anything from him, is that it just hurts so bad that he's just like, fuck it. You know, I'm not even going to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
I could see if there are still some people still holding on to the idea that Floki and Ragnar are working together, how they could use this as support because it almost could be for show for Horik also. Mm-hmm. But
I guess it could be, but I don't know. I mean, he's doing maybe that really is the plan and they just figured out that they need to like show the viewer or like throw us off the scent.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of be like, all right, we need to make them believe that that's not going to happen. So it's really going to have a big pow when it's revealed the next episode.
I'm at least hoping for a Floki turnaround like Rollo. You know, I'm hoping something.
Well, I still want to see Floki with gold teeth because that's what we got in the previews when he's drinking, you know, it's all coming down his mustache and his beard and stuff. And he's got some gold teeth on.
That's the god that he represents apparently has gold teeth. So that's why they put gold teeth on that trailer. Don't ask me what god because I don't remember. So the hostage exchange is made. And then Ecbert, I don't know if you guys want to talk about the actual exchange.
There's a lot of guys in armor with swords pointing at the Vikings all the way to where they had to sit down. And then he's just like, have a seat, guys. It's like, are you kidding me? Jeez, maybe put the swords down for a minute.
That's cool because he welcomes them speaking Norse, so he's a great diplomat.
And what, no bath this time?
I know. I thought about that, like even Lagertha in the bath. That
You
would have been
have
interesting.
a table this whole time that you guys can talk at, but you keep going to the bath. What the fuck is wrong with this guy?
I wonder if there will ever be an explanation for that. We'll
I
see.
think it's just him. It makes him cool.
So Mary Moon is present and aroused.
Yeah, you could say that again.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She licks her lips.
And gets handfuls.
Oh,
Well,
that's
yeah,
later.
later Oh, is
on
it
when she,
later?
yeah,
Oh,
when
okay.
she.
When she sees Ragnar, she licks her lips as she's sitting down at the table. Oh, yeah, she's.
He doesn't pay her any mind, though.
Nah.
At all.
Just because he's thinking the same thing. I mean, it is Ragnar.
Yeah.
He's like, eh.
He's gonna play
He's
cool.
already sized her up, breeding hips, taller, tough queen. This might work.
So Egbert tells them that Athelstan has been teaching him their language. Athelstan then takes over to propose the details of the treaty. Land is offered as well as peace. They propose that they fight for Mary Moon, and in return, they will be returned. Rollo, as well as the rest of the treaty, will be fulfilled. The Vikings accept the offer. At least Lagertha and Ragnar do, and I guess Horik does off-screen because
You
he
have to
did.
assume he does because the next they zoom in on him and he's staying quiet. He doesn't want to acquiesce to this,
No.
but he has no choice with the
no, he
other two
doesn't.
doing it.
Yeah, he doesn't have a choice because whether he wants to believe it or not, he's part of a triumvirate right there, and he, it's go along to get along. So.
Yeah, he might as well be an earl himself because throughout this entire season, he has just lost more and more control of him being a king.
True, but he brought it upon himself.
Yeah,
You know, I mean,
poor
he
decisions.
sought out Ragnar to do his dirty work against Borg, and things just evolved from that point, and here you are, you know.
So the exchange is made again. Rollo is brought back among his people. Those that are willing to fight for Mary Moon go forward. Ragnar then tells Athelstan that he is taking his brother home, and he wants Athelstan to come with them.
I didn't think he was going to do it.
I didn't either.
I didn't
I
know.
thought he was going to be like, I'm back here with my own people. I love you guys, but I just,
Scrolls, Ragnar, scrolls.
scrolls, books, learning stuff.
It was heartfelt when he asked him, though. It wasn't just like,
It
please come with
was.
me. It was like, come on.
There was the gesture when he like gripped the, I don't know if he gripped his leg or if he gripped,
Yeah.
it was,
I think it was
they're,
whatever
it's awesome
clothing he
watching
had on
them.
his leg.
They
Yeah,
could
it
have
was
a,
just.
sleepover again.
Yeah.
Throw some swords, get drunk.
Somehow, I don't think Aslog would be down with that.
She was down with Lagertha. I
Yeah,
mean, you don't know.
she's.
She's pretty hip.
Yeah. And she's freeing slaves.
Or at least a
She's
guy
good.
sleepover in the hall where they get drunk and smash
Yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Just like you said, throwing the swords and.
Because it doesn't look like he's been partying at all. It doesn't look like he's been getting any trim in England. It's kind of
Yeah,
like going to the cool kid's house for a couple nights because your
true.
parents are a little strict.
Yeah, and if I go with them, the liquor cabinet doesn't have any keys.
They'll have
Could
Sunny
you?
D.
So, next scene we see Thorin training to be a shield maiden.
Awesome.
Aslaug is impressed, but she wants to know why everyone wants to be like Lagertha.
She doesn't press too hard because I think
Nah.
she already knows.
She's
Well,
like,
she
I
knows.
understand.
Yeah, I want to be like her too.
Then she gives Aslaug her, or she get Aslaug gives Thorin her freedom.
What was it, like a package?
I think it was the clothes that she was wearing later.
So
Yeah.
they're like elves, like Dobby. Here's some socks.
Yeah,
You're
maybe.
free.
I
thought it was awesome that she freed her because I even wrote it down. It's like, she gets like two cool points because it shows that she cares about Ragnar's son.
Yeah.
Yeah, they knew she, yeah, it's like she does something awesome and they put braids in her hair. I think that's another tell if somebody's about to do something awesome. They have braids in their hair.
Which in the baptism, it was kind of like a baptism scene too, where she goes out swimming
Yeah.
and dives under the water and then comes back up. Not like she's being baptized, but just kind of
A
cleaning.
rebirth into a
Yeah.
free woman.
Absolutely.
I thought of Jaws though.
You did?
Yes,
I
the
thought
opening
just
scene of the first
ingrained.
Jaws. Yeah.
I thought it's free skinny dipping.
Yeah.
I can do whatever I want. Here we go.
That's just part of our like culture now. You see a woman swimming out by herself at
No.
dusk.
I
You
was
know
just
what I
waiting
mean?
for her to
It's
start
just
getting pulled
I didn't
under.
even think about it. I really didn't.
Find her
Although I did wish it
hand on
was
the
on
beach with
stars during that
crabs.
part.
Yeah.
You
That
do
would
what?
if it had been on stars during that part,
Oh
I would have
yeah.
gotten a
You
little
got
booby
a hint
action.
of boob
But it's
there.
all right. That water looked cold too.
Oh yeah, you know it was cold. So actually, before that scene, Eckbert's walking around Athelstan's quarters. I think this is our first hint that Athelstan has left, and it seems like he's missing him already. But he seems kind of mad at the same time because he's like kind of going over his stuff, and he picks up
The cross.
his rosary or whatever, and then he just kind of like he seems a little angry,
I
but.
think disappointed. We'll see if his friendship is as strong as Ragnar's when if he does decide to go back to England. We'll see if it's there because now we'll just see. We'll know for sure if it was a possession thing or if it was a friendship thing.
I guess he could have detained him.
Yeah, he walked away freely.
Yeah.
The only thing is he left the cross. So I was like, ooh.
Well, you can't
Maybe
take
that
that.
was why.
But Eckbert's smart, he's shown that he's an intelligent guy. He probably knows why he couldn't take the cross with him. And I think he'll be welcomed back. I hope he will
Well, the
be.
episode's called The Choice, and we speculated on several different choices, but I think we knew that this was going to be the major one, and it was. And it was Athelstan's choice, and he chose to go back with the
And it
Vikings.
wasn't in the night. It wasn't sneaky. It wasn't like, help free me. He just went.
Yeah.
So, you know
They couldn't
what?
have stopped him at that point because he was there. I mean, what are they going to just kill all the Vikings?
Eckbert
They've already.
could have put his foot down, I think, if he wanted to. Like, no, you can't go. He could have had him killed. If he really wanted to put his foot down, I think he could
Like
have.
if he had said it at while he was at Eckbert's fortress or palace or castle, whatever you want to call it, his hold, then yeah. But once Athelstan's right there on the shore with Ragnar and he says he wants to go, I think Ragnar would be like, he's coming with us or all this ends.
Well, it looks
And
like he
yeah.
went back to the castle to put his rosary and stuff back,
But he hadn't
though.
said anything to anybody at that point, I don't
Yeah.
believe.
Okay.
And I think what we're reading on Eckbert's face is disappointment. I think you're
Yeah, I
right.
think
And
it's disappointed.
a little bit of anger too, because there's a repudiation there of Christianity by laying the cross down and
Yeah.
by the friendship that he had with Eckbert by his absence. So you've got two things going on at once, and he's just like, ah, double drat.
But I think Eckbert's a smart guy. I think he'll realize that maybe he just needs a weekend,
And he could have let him go because he saw it as advantageous having
Or we could,
Athelstan there.
if it wasn't for that scene, we could put on our tinfoil hats and say, okay, well now Athelstan is a plant for Eckbert, and he's gonna. But that's not
No.
happening. I don't think so, because he
No.
wouldn't have had this scene by himself where he's angry about this and that.
Yeah.
But
They're not going to make us hate Athelstan.
no, nah.
Because that would
That'd be
really.
hard to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all they'd have to do is have him turn on Ragnar, and I think that would be it. I would be hating him.
Yeah. But it's cool that he when they show him on, you don't know as the viewer that he did it until the boat comes in. And I
Oh,
know you're
yeah.
about to get to that scene, and they're taking, people off the boat and stuff.
Actually, before that, we have Eckbert showing Mary Moon the
Oh
Vikings that
yeah.
are
There's a
offered to
meat
fight.
market. The meat market,
Yes.
yeah.
She's at first disappointed that Ragnar is not present, but she quickly moves on and she inspects the men. And of course, she would like to breed with them. No surprise.
Yeah, she grabs one guy's package and she's pleasantly surprised. And he just gives
So
her a
is
look.
he.
Like he's like, yep,
I
I
love how
got
she, after
that.
she takes her hands out, she's just all like,
I thought she was going to smell him.
Oh.
Oof. Check his teeth real quick. You just touched. Oh, screw it.
Forget it.
Yeah.
So Rollo's brought home to Kattegat. We see a worried Siggy. That's the only time we see her.
What?
Well,
No fist bump?
Yeah.
he gave his final strength went into almost choking Athelstan,
And
so
she's
he doesn't.
not as. I thought she'd be a little more frantic seeing Rollo in that condition, but she's already. I thought about it later, and it's like, she's already kept her poise through a lot of different situations. I just think she keeps herself well put
Yeah,
together.
she's lost two sons and a daughter. I think, yeah,
And a husband.
but she did look distressed, I thought. Yeah, she's lost everybody, so. Athelstan is also brought back to Kattegat, which we've already mentioned, and then Aslaug greets Lagertha and Athelstan, and then Bjorn is reunited with Thorin, who is now a free woman. And you can see this is,
Huge.
yeah, Aslaug's way of kind of giving an olive branch to Bjorn.
Yeah, she cares about him, or at least I think she does, because it's a classy move.
Yes.
It's a classy move.
Yeah, I think it's her way of showing affection towards Ragnar by caring about. I mean, I think that's how any, step parent handles things. They try to be cool to the kids, and
Yeah.
that wins the affections of the parent, so.
And it pleased Lagertha, you could see too. So Rolo's medical treatment begins. They close the wound in his gut, and then his legs get reset.
Now, here's
He's
the.
been through some physical shit because you remember he got tortured last
Oh,
season.
yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the question I've got, though. Why didn't anybody set the leg before they went on the boat
I know, because
and put a splint on
that's
it?
dangerous. I
Yeah.
don't know.
Internal bleeding, infection, and
Yeah.
you think that these guys would have, not like a medicus or a medical doctor on the field, but you think somebody would be like, if they knew that they had to set it, they should have just set it. Set it and forget it.
I guess we're just supposed to believe that nobody with the group knew,
Knew.
had that kind of
Okay.
medical knowledge.
They
Well,
needed Siggy.
yeah,
Yeah,
should
they needed Siggy.
train somebody.
It wasn't Siggy who did it, though. It was
No,
the
it was
other.
It
some
was
woman.
Lagertha.
Was it Lagertha? I
Wasn't
didn't
it
even
just
notice it
Lagertha,
was
Siggy,
her.
and Ragnar? Wasn't it just them three?
I thought it
No,
was Siggy and some
yeah,
woman I had
Siggy
never
and
seen
yeah, some
before.
other character we haven't seen before. I don't know.
And you guys are probably right since you both think that.
Yeah,
So for some
because
reason, I
she
thought it
wasn't
was
blonde.
Lagertha.
She wasn't blonde.
Oh, I thought she
I
was.
thought it was gray hair. I
Yeah.
don't
She
know.
did. She did look a little bit older, but I don't know. Yeah, it was just like
I got a little
So it could have
queasy
been
when they
the
showed the legs too,
midwife.
though.
The
So
midwife from
could
when
be. Yeah.
Ivar was born.
Possibly, yeah.
I don't know which would be worse, the hot sword sealing the wound or the setting of that leg. I think both of them were
I think the
foul.
setting of the leg would that would
Well,
like
let's start with the horse hooves across your chest.
Because you
Yeah.
probably got his internal bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, he should have been. He's probably dead.
He's got to have a few broken ribs.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
mean, most people probably
Sternum
couldn't, like,
ribs.
if a horse kicked you, just kicked you with its
Oh
back
yeah,
leg, you
it
know,
breaks
in your
something.
chest. There's a good chance you'd probably die. Now, if you're lying on your back and a horse runs over you with its full weight plus a rider in mail and weapons,
It was more than one horse, too,
thank
wasn't
God
it? Yeah.
Rolo's a giant.
Yes.
Anywhere spur. He wasn't naked in this fight like the other ones
Or
usually.
wearing a dress.
Yeah, you know. So that's all. It's crazy, and thank goodness it didn't smash his junk either, because Rolo the eunuch would be terrible.
Oh man, that would be an angry giant.
Yeah, because we need his great 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 grandson to come and invade England later. So, by the way.
Because England always needs more invading.
Okay, so the scene ends, or the episode ends, with Floki and Hork. Floki's sewing something, and he's approached by Hork. Hork says that they share many things, and he listed these many things, and Hork has a proposition.
I just put in my notes, fuck Horik at the end of it. I didn't put anything else.
This dick.
I was like, God, fucker. I would say I hope it's worse than what y'all Borg got, but I just don't think they can do that twice. So I don't know. I just hope it's done. I hope we don't have to deal with them anymore.
I don't know. I mean, I have no speculation, honestly, as what will happen as far as Horik's concerned.
Now, do you think that we as the viewer are going to get next episode at the beginning the rest of that conversation, or is it just going to be left
It's
unsaid
going
and
to
then
be
it's
the
going to
cliffhanger.
unfold over the course of
It's
the
going to be the
episode or
cliffhanger.
possibly, you
Oh
know, further
yeah.
seasons?
They're gonna make it painful when the show's off.
I think so.
And what do you guys think the proposition's going to be?
I think the proposition's going to be,
Take out Ragnar?
yeah, taking
Kill
out
Bjorn?
Ragnar. I think it's going to be
I
Ragnar.
think it's going to be Ragnar too.
Because you can kill Bjorn and that would, you know, like emotionally that would cripple Ragnar, but Horik needs him out of the way because, like I've said before, his star is rising while Horik's is kind of on the wane. So
Have Floki challenge Ragnar the way Ragnar challenged the Earl before. That way, he's not going to fight all on right away against Floki, his friend, and it gives Floki the chance to become Earl. Not that I think he's too concerned about it, but it would be the play if I was in Horik's spot. That would be my play. Because he's got a close friend that's sick of him, put him up against him, and then you've got a guy that's willing to work with you, that's easily manipulated, in charge as an earl.
Yeah, because he's already king. He already has his own duties, which he doesn't seem to be doing much of, because it's pretty much
No.
this whole season he's
He's
just
never
hung out
been
in
there.
Kattegat or he's gone raiding.
I
So
know.
he's not actually administering any
No.
law.
Minding his kingdom, not at
No.
all.
So I really think that would be the only play I could see. Because if you go after, we've seen what happens when you go after Ragnar's family. It's not pretty.
Yeah, that's true.
And now with Rolo hurt, Rolo can't help him in a one-on-one fight.
So you think they had that discussion about Bjorn Floki and Horik had that discussion about Bjorn just to heighten the stress of the battle that we saw after.
Because, I mean, that's the first thing I thought of was some kind of dirty deed to take Bjorn out. But I think Floki still has affection for Bjorn and wouldn't do that. So
nothing, you don't think anything will come of that?
No.
That's done.
Yeah, if you make Ragnar the villain like the way King Horik's been doing it, it makes it easier for Floki to turn that switch off and fight him and take him out. Because that's really, he's got to realize that's his biggest competition and threat is Ragnar. Because Ragnar doesn't ever listen to him anymore. He's just sick of him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I don't see, I think the whole scene when they were talking about Baldur and everything was to kind of let you know that he was going to come out of that battle unscathed. You know, and to also, as a side benefit, give you a little bit of, like, nastiness, you know, like that look when Floki looks at Bjorn and you're just like, well, what are they doing?
Yeah, I thought that was your boy.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, because there's no ill will between the two of them.
No, not yet.
Not yet, yeah.
So hopefully Floki comes to his senses, because he has been a bit scatterbrained sometimes and he flip-flops a lot. Hopefully he comes to his senses at one point and can come back to the fold. Or they're going after the priest. That would be another one. But that's still messing with Ragnar's family, though.
Yeah.
I just don't see anything gained after killing the priest. I just don't see it. That's why I think it's got to be Ragnar. Because if you kill the priest, it's just going to piss Ragnar off.
Yeah.
And still
having to deal with.
Yeah, and King in England's going to be pissed about it.
And it's convenient that Rollo's injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's Ragnar's muscle. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you. It's massive. I would be terrible. I'm glad I'm not very tall, because I would probably be a total dick if I was that tall. I just call everybody Peck.
Out of the way, Peck.
I'm 6'2". I don't care, Peck. But, so I don't know. There's no telling. You know, I think I'm expecting an awesome episode, though. And then to have just a gnarly cliffhanger at the very end of it, counting how many months till the next season.
So, you know, I think Travis Fimmel, who plays Ragnar, I think he's 6 foot, and he looks short.
He's 6 foot?
He's 6 foot.
Yeah, Rollo's got to be a good 6'8".
Yeah, probably 6'6", or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God damn. That guy's got to be a giant.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other speculations? You guys want to speculate about what's going to go on in England with Mary Moon, how that's going to play out?
I thought possibly it could be a setup that not many people are going to survive just because none of the main characters stayed.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the red shirt group going to be mercenaries.
Yeah. I mean, there was about what? It looked like maybe 10 people, you know? Maybe there's more, and that's just a representation of them. Because
didn't the two kings say that they wanted to take out that kingdom and split it between the two of them?
Right.
So why do they have Mary Moon there in the first place? So if you have the Vikings there,
they're tricking her.
Mm-hmm. So the Vikings could just be fodder for them.
Oh, well, yeah. Whoever stayed, but they're not going to live.
Although, if they please her well, then they might have a new Viking king over there in no time. So.
That'll be interesting.
Rollo be the king. He is a Christian.
Yeah. He's already been baptized, so. Anything else speculation-wise?
No, I don't have any more speculation.
So we've got some feedback. We'll do the Twitter feedback first.
It would be funny to see like a slow, like a montage of King Egbert in England. Kind of all sad and walking slowly with the cross in his hands, you know, walking around in that room with some scrolls.
They have some music. It's been several hours and 15 days. Just have him stared across the sea.
One small tear.
Nothing compared to you.
Aww. They just saw Athelstan kind of like looking up, like you can hear it in the distance.
on the cliffs, you know, some wind blowing in his hair. Do you think he took any scrolls with him?
I hope so.
Me too. Just like one, like this one.
That'd be cool if he's the one who teaches them to read, because I mean, I know they don't use runes forever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be teaching them Latin too.
It's got to happen at some point, right? I mean, in history, it does eventually happen.
Yeah.
There are books in Norway right now. So we have to assume that that's fill in the blank. But
He's just an awesome character. You can't go wrong with Appleston.
Maybe that's why we haven't gotten any feedback from anybody in Scandinavia.
Yeah, because of comments like that.
That's because they don't listen to podcasts. They listen to metal.
Yeah.
Minute.
Either that or there's a long ship pulling up right now. Yeah. And we're just screwed.
Nothing compared to you.
So, okay, Twitter feedback first. So, it's, once again, it's Briskier and Mike Spa who are taking up the Twitter responsibilities here of feedback. The first thing I was going to read was Catherine Winnick had wrote on Twitter, "It's on, who's watching?"
But this last night when the episode started.
And Mike Spa wrote, "You know I am."
Girl, you know it's true.
And then Briskier wrote, "Running behind with T-ball tonight, but still pissing my pants with excitement. Hashtag natural Bjorn killa."
That's awesome. I'm so dumb, too, because I was thinking T-ball was a character. I was like, who's T-ball on the show? I'm so dumb. Yep.
T-ball's running behind.
Yeah. He's the one all the way in the back.
Yeah.
So Briskier wrote, "Two men stood tall. Hashtag fat douche Horik makes everything worse." Ragnar seems ready to settle down. Hashtag family means more. And then in response to that this morning, I wrote, "The Floki thing is not resolved yet. What do you guys think about that?" And then Mike Spa wrote, "I saw the indecision on his face at the start of the battle. He irritates me. Need to see the errors in front."
Because Floki looks back at Ragnar's group, you know, when they charge ahead, and he's kind of like, he looks a little bit torn because it seems like he's given his loyalty to Horik, but at the same time, he probably understands that Ragnar's battle plans are a little more sound.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The wild card. That's what Floki is. He's just the show's wild card, Murdoch.
Yeah.
And then on that same subject, Briskier said, "Cool that Ragnar called him out, but I think that Appleston versus Floki might be a bigger deal than Bjorn versus Floki." So that was basically what you guys have already speculated. He's thinking the same thing, it sounds like.
There's no telling.
So Mike Spa also said, in response to that, he agrees, "I bet Athelstan goes to Ragnar boot camp. Hashtag axe and knife, hashtag Vikings. So Athelstan maybe will become a badass, even more of one.
I don't know if I see Athelstan the warrior as much as you see Athelstan the philosopher.
He kind of has his feet in both worlds.
A little bit, but it's not natural for him. You know, like everybody else you see train and they fight and they're automatically great. The one time we saw Appleston fight, he had to kind of get saved and he's not quite.
But he turned around and saved Ragnar after that.
I agree, but it's still not quite as fluid as most, you know, some of these other warriors. You know, he's still the philosopher.
He's a monk by trade. He's a fighter by necessity.
Yeah,
so.
And he's tiny.
Yeah, he's no Kwai Chang Kane. Nope.
He's a tiny Viking. Okay, and this really cracked me up. Briskier said in comment of the episode as I was playing last night, "That was a hashtag oh shit type of battle. Badass. Ekbert is my favorite character. Sensible but strong like a good men's cologne."
Ekbert for men. The label's got him and all of his friends in the hot tub.
Smells like old bathwater.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's just bathwater.
Oh, I think there's pubes in my show.
You can even use it as breath spray. Mike Spa wrote during, so this is around the time that Rollo was injured during battle, but you didn't know what his fate was. And he wrote, "The wrong guy was killed. Fuck King Horik. Hashtag Vikings. Hashtag douchebeard." And the cool thing about that is Clive Standen favorited that tweet by Mike Spa.
Good job, Mike Spa.
Yes. Awesome.
That's awesome because Clive Standen's watching, you know, the Twitter feeds at the time. Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, they think I'm dead. I pulled it off."
Well, that too.
Certainly did.
It's got to be hard to be an actor and play a part that everybody hates you. You know, so this season, he's getting the turnaround of everybody loving him. So it's got to be awesome to be on the opposite end of last season where it was like fucking Rolo, you know, now everybody like cares that he died, you know, that he almost died.
Shows he has the acting chops.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It would just be hard, like playing King Horik. Yeah. Because, you know, it's just like, fuck you, man. Getting hate mail. Well, it's that, just a part.
What's, do you know the actor's name who plays King Horik?
Donald Logue.
Yeah, Donald Logue.
He's been in a lot.
He is a great actor. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I hated him on Sons of Anarchy when yeah. he was that marshal.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. And when they finally killed him, I was, like, cheering for it. So, I mean, he's really tapped into that certain thing that he can
skeezy,
do. And he just,
yeah, kind he, of just rotten dude.
Like, you have to be a good actor to make people hate you.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know what I mean? Because anybody can try to act like an asshole, and most people are just irritating when they do that. But when you really get under somebody's skin and you're like, this is a good character, yeah. and I hate him, and I can't wait to see them get their just desserts, that's like you're doing mm-hmm. an awesome job.
I mean, because you figure he was in a sitcom before that where he was like a dad of a family and was kind of like
what show was that?
I can't remember the name of it. I remember seeing it where it was kind of like a chuckly, you know.
Yeah.
I could pull
that's
it up.
That's weird.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of stuff.
Huh. But yeah, like Rolo, I mean, he really does, like everything was stacked against him mm-hmm. last season. I mean, he was a murderer, he was a rapist, he was a betrayer.
Yeah.
He was, I don't know, if he was married, he would have been an adulterer, mm-hmm. you know, so it's like he's
rapist.
He's all the bad things that you can be all rolled up into one person. And then this season he turns it around and he's one of your, like, I'd say most viewers out there, he's probably in the top three or four characters yeah. that they like. You know, as everybody likes Lagertha, that's a given.
Yeah.
You know, everybody likes Ragnar, that's a given, and Bjorn.
It was called Copper, the TV series.
What's it called?
Copper?
Copper. Mm-hmm. I never heard of it.
I haven't either.
But now, you know, this season we're hating on, obviously, Borg, who has passed away, and King Horik, and then, you know, Floki's kind of on everybody's bad mm-hmm. side now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, that Stannon did a really good job, like, turning that around.
Mm-hmm. And as you guys know, I've been preparing season one because we're going to, after we're done with this, we're going to start podcasting on season one. And it's Rolo, I mean, it's almost like a different person he's mm-hmm. playing. He's so angry and abrasive all the time. And actually, I was kind of, it occurred to me, like, he just got wounded, and the way he was with Athelstan reminded me of the Rolo. Yeah. I was like, oh, I hope that old Rolo doesn't come back because that's what it's looking like. But well,
that's going to be an interesting thing when he does get better and he wakes up and he's just like, what are you doing here? Didn't I tell you I was going to kill you?
Oh, shit.
Well, better hope somebody's in there with Athelstan.
He listens to his brother. So hopefully Ragnar gets to him and it's just like, it's okay. It's okay. He's but our friend.
I think once, you're right. I think once Ragnar kind of gets it in Rolo's head that Ekbert's the enemy, not mm-hmm. Athelstan, it'll be okay.
Yeah.
Horik is the enemy.
What did I say? Oh, yeah, Horik. I'm sorry.
It's
yeah.
okay. There's a lot of kings.
Yeah, there's a lot of kings.
A lot of D-bag kings.
Yeah.
except Ekbert. I like Ekbert.
You won't be liking him if you're King Ella.
No.
You won't be liking him if you're Mary Moon.
Mm-mm.
Oh, she doesn't know yet. So we have the contest, sticker contest.
Thank you for everybody that put submissions. It's awesome.
Which we've had one.
We had one submission. And it was from, how do you pronounce her name?
D. Cody.
That's D. Cody. She wrote us a really, really nice letter, a long letter over email mm-hmm. talking about the show and some of the points and stuff like that. And some of it, I'm not going to read all of it because it's a long letter, but I just want to say thank you in the first place for doing that, taking the time out of your day to do that. We really appreciate it. We appreciate any feedback. And this was awesome. It made our day. But we were asking the question for the sticker contest, who would win in a cage fight, Gannicus or Rolo? And you're definitely getting a sticker for this one. So she says, my thoughts are more emotional than logical and somewhat based on the actors that portray the characters, which is probably lame and uncharacteristic of my personality, but that's how I feel at this moment. She says, I prefer Rolo over Gannicus, so I would want Rolo to win. Rolo is simply dreamy. So I think Ganicus is a much better leader than Rollo, and he thinks of the team or the tribe over the individual. That trait in a cage match may rule in Rollo's favor, but in a field would rule in Ganicus's favor. I think the reflective Rollo, who is still trying to forgive himself and figure out his place, that is, I guess to say season two Rollo, though he is a better man for going through all the turmoil, would lose to Ganicus, as Rollo is not in his vicious, grimy self and may second guess himself, or rather not bring his A game. Ganicus has more he believes in and trusts than Rollo appears to have, and that, quote, purpose may be the actual ingredient that would extend him past exhaustion, as this fight over Rollo would not be an easy win, but Ganicus's purpose-driven life would rule. I think the old, brooding, pissed-off Rollo, season one, would eventually conquer Ganicus in a cage fight. However, the caveat on this, I believe Ganicus is a better technician of the fight than Rollo. That enhanced skill could outmaneuver Rollo in a cage fight. Rollo seems taller, definitely, definitely taller, and may be able to jump or use the cage against Ganicus for brute force, but Ganicus is still the better technical fighter. In the end, if I had to pick a death, let it be a Romeo and Juliet one, where both stuck each other in such a way that neither lived from the blow. I think she said struck rather than stuck. Sorry, yeah, that was my mistake.
That would be more of Rocky one.
Yeah, when they both fall and they're just out for the count.
Exactly. But that's okay. Well, Romeo and Juliet works also.
Slow motion.
Then it just froze frame, you know, one last punch on each other.
I can't pick. They should be buddies. The morale of this scenario, best to figure out how to get along than to fight to one's death and become a martyr. As humbly spoken from a military child and an Army wartime veteran. Well, thank you very much for that submission. You're definitely getting a sticker. And I agree with pretty much everything she said. Ganicus is definitely, I mean, he's got the chops.
But like Rollo.
I think Rollo or Ganicus would win. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so too.
Mm-hmm. He is a better technical fighter. But, you know, Ganicus also has a prior and like he pre-Sybil and after Sybil because that was a big
pre-Sybil for sure.
Okay, but so he didn't have a purpose till after Sybil, though. So
I'm talking like Ganicus in his prime in the arena still.
Yeah.
And then Rollo in his pure
rage,
mushrooms out in the field.
Berserker moment.
Okay, so if we're pitting season one Rollo versus Gods of the Arena Ganicus,
yes,
then it's anybody's guess.
Yeah. I mean, it could go either way. I'm not saying it's like a definitive. It would be, not to sound too nerdy, it'd be an epic fight. You
like
know?
Season two, episode one, Rollo versus Ganicus Gods of the Arena.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It would be awesome. All I know is that it would be awesome. And thanks for it. I mean, that's a great synopsis on all of it. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was an awesome email, and I wrote her back point by point, and she wrote me back again. So I'm going to write D. Cody again. So please keep writing in. It's fun. This is my favorite part of podcasting. We're also going to go ahead and give the other two stickers to Mike Spa and Briskier because they're, not only because they tweet at us, but because Briskier said that really funny thing about Eckbert being a manly cologne. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Spa was favorited by Clive Standen. So I think those both deserve, you know, rewards. So, I will write to them and ask for their email or for their, home addresses, and we'll send those off.
You guys are all getting stickers whether you want them or not.
Yeah, it's happening.
If you don't want it, just stick it on a light pole somewhere.
You can stick it on anything. Yeah. The back of a stop sign.
Yeah.
You know, vandalize some stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. We could pick up a new listener. Just somebody's don't walking down the street. Who are these Wild Hunt jackasses? I got to check this out.
Okay. Next episode is called The Lord's Prayer.
Oh, so this will have something to do with Athelstan. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's it. Thank you for listening to us, and we'll be back next week to talk about the Lord's Prayer. And if anybody has any comments on the podcast or have any comment on this current episode, they can write to us at noship.net. We actually prefer the email. It's a better format. It's easier to print out. Mm-hmm. On noship.net, when you go to the contact page, you can there's actually a section you can actually write your feedback into directly, or you can go to our email address, which is also listed on that page. It's up to you what you prefer. All right. Thank you for the new Twitter followers, and we love to have you guys along. And also for, we've also gotten some other emails, just telling us how they like us and things like that. Nice. And we thank you for that too. So, all right. That's it. I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
See you later.
See you next time.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.